Checkmate 1-6. Immediate suppression on target.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Shot or no shot with Captain J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
That's why I see him in my shot.
Good morning, and welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000.
Buenos dias.
And we are streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with Yurko. In for Cap, I'm J-Hood. This is Spring Trading. A lot of different combinations you'll hear today on this Spring Trading Tuesday. Time for Shot or No Shot. And Shane's brought to you by the fine folks over at...
That would be the fine folks over at Club Hawthorne. You could also bet $400, get four Sam Adams, hang out. It's a good place to go. Club Hawthorne, Hawthorne Racecourse.
That's pretty good. We turn over now to the great Shane Orling.
The same guy. What's up, fellas?
With an edition now of Shot or No Shot, go right ahead.
Yurk, I heard you're a morning person. Are you enjoying this slot?
I am. I am enjoying the slot. I enjoy it. I think, really, if the 5 to 9 is really an appealing show. 5
who,
to 9.
Who?
5 a.m. to 9 a.m.
For who?
I love it. For Johnny Hansen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were told yesterday you wake the sun up.
Yeah, well, listen, the minute it comes through the blinds, I'm up. This morning set two alarms, 402, 407. By 403, I was in the shower. Mm-hmm. You know, didn't need the second alarm.
I see.
But you set it in case of emergency.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. But these phones are unbelievable with the alarms.
Sure.
Poor alarm company went out. Acme Alarm Company,
mm-hmm.
out of business. What's the Roadrunner going to do, you know? If there's
right,
no
exactly.
Acme Alarm, what,
exactly.
the
no Roadrunner
and the Coyote? What are they doing? The poor people.
There's no cartoon without the Acme, right?
I got 1,000 alarm clock faces, you know, that I was going to sell. I was going to move on the market. I can't do it no more because these phones are perfect. I love them.
But, I mean, hey, you know, listen, with me traveling with the UIC Flames, then you go to Terre Haute, and you're going to Springfield, Missouri.
Sycamore,
all these
Southwest
places.
Missouri.
I mean, all these places, right? You go to these hotels, the alarm clock's out. You're looking around like, can I get a Bible? No Bible and no
Bible.
Alarm clock.
No Bible.
So,
the King James Bible has been removed.
The old KJ's out.
You're going to have to go someplace else for Leviticus.
Right, like, okay. So no Bible and no clock.
Yeah.
So now, but thank God you got a really good, phone now that you can be able to have any alarm you want. So that you don't get that anymore. What happened to the old West clock right next to you?
Yeah.
Right there. It had the AM, FM on it.
Then the jerk that was in there before you sets the alarm before he leaves. And then at 5 a.m. for no apparent reason, you ain't got a wake-up call till 8.
It's the worst.
What a jerk.
It's the worst.
I'm not calling Sylvia a jerk, but that would be a Sylvia-like move.
Of course.
Because Sylvia has called me in Hawaii when I was on vacation in Hawaii.
Brother.
I get the phone call. I just started swearing.
Yeah.
I realized what was going on, and I started going blank, 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 blank.
Oh, yeah.
Hung up on me right away.
Yeah.
There you go.
He got me.
You want to be cute.
You know that.
Yeah.
He got me in Alaska.
Oh, no.
You know that story,
how
I got here. The whole state, Jeff Schwartz tried to rip me. He's like, I got an idea. We sent a brother to Alaska. Like that was his whole deal, right?
Inside the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, like, we'll send you to Alaska.
We're going
to
show you UIC we support him.
Like, okay.
The Great Alaska Shootout.
7 days, 6 nights, and all of a sudden, I knew. Let me unplug my phone. Let's make sure it's nice and quiet because it's Alaska. 1 hour of sunlight. And that's at between 1 and 2 p.m. in the afternoon.
In the winter, that's all you get.
That's all you got. All of a sudden, guys pounding on my door. It's like, and I don't know what time it is because it's Alaska.
Yeah.
Open the door. Like, what's going on?
It goes dark.
Your wife called downstairs. She's very concerned about you. Hon, did you call me? Nope. It was Sylvie.
Yeah.
And so of course, the whole trip's ruined now.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what time it is.
You don't know where you're at. You're waiting for the sunlight to get your bearings, your 60 minutes of sunlight. On the horizon, too.
Yes.
Oh. It's out there on the horizon.
Brother.
It barely peaks above it.
Brother.
Yeah.
In December.
It's a hardy people up there.
It's a tough one in December.
It's a hardy people up there.
Man, tell you what.
I had a buddy went to the Arctic Circle, landed in downtown the road. He landed downtown on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went and put the plane to the side. And when he took off, he had to take off on the main drag. Right through the tunnel. Buildings on both sides.
Yeah.
Buildings, shacks, whatever's on both sides.
I mean, there's nothing like when the bartender says, where's Ted? And say, oh, Ted, well, he walked home drunk. And then, of course, when the thaw comes, there's Ted. He's in a snowbank. Dead.
Six months later. Ted didn't make it.
All right, boys, let's get to Shot
Ted
or No
didn't
Shot.
Ted make it, Shane.
Think about that. Ted's dead.
Ted's dead.
I mean, he's in a snowbank. Think about that.
Pickled.
That's pretty much that's what it was. I said, what a horrible story. He goes, would you like another Glenn Livid? I said, yes, sir. Make it a double.
Yes.
Go
right
ahead.
Neat.
All right, boys. The Bears made arguably the biggest splash of the first day of legal tampering with an agreement with linebacker Tremaine Edmonds.
Mm-hmm.
Edmonds, a two-time Pro Bowler who graded out among the best coverage linebackers in the NFL. He's just 24 years old, and the Bears got him for a lower annual value than the Ravens paid Roquan Smith. Shot or no shot? This is an A-plus signing by Ryan Poles.
I would say he's a three-down player. I'm going with no shot, and I will give you it's a B-plus, A-minus signing.
Mm-hmm. You'll take that.
Yeah, I'm going to take it, but it's not A-plus. A-plus is Orlando Brown.
I would agree with that. I would say it's a no shot, but this is not casting any aspersions on the signing.
That's right.
It's not, and this is not just filling the bill. I think that this player can be productive for the Bears. I think all of them can be productive, as a matter of fact. Everything that they signed. Yeah. Even Nate Davis on offensive line.
A minus B plus signing. I think it's very solid. I think this helps your football team. A three down player. That's your guy. Edmonds is going to be a three down player.
So I would say it's a no shot, but definitely more than serviceable player for
yes.
the Bears.
Yes.
And again, the attractive thing for me, Shay, is the age. That's what I like.
Young.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a couple months older than Justin Fields.
Youthful.
All right, Shay.
All right, DeMarcus Walker, he's far from the flashiest signing the Bears could have made on the defensive line, but he does fill a position of need. He was reasonably productive for Tennessee last season with a career-high 7.5 sacks. So it's a solid signing, but shot or no shot, this really signals that the Bears' plan is to address the D-line through the draft.
Well, that's a shot. That's a shot. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, look at what they've done so far. Linebackers, offensive line, wide receiver. Well, and then you've got the DN. Well, now what's next? Absolutely, you've got to be able to address it. I would agree that if you get Orlando Brown, now what an offseason that the Bears have had. But you've got to take care of this defensive line. As I mentioned the last hour, hadn't seen a defense for the Bears like that. I've seen some bad. We've all seen some bad Bears teams. But the defense held up there in the bargain. But this past season, no-name defense, no-action defense. 20 sacks, absolutely have to address it.
Yeah, I got a shot also. And with the names that have gone elsewhere, San Francisco, Seattle, mm-hmm. signing the defensive lineman, the top two guys, that's it. Of course, you have to address it in the draft. So, yes, absolutely, shot, they get it in the draft.
Shay.
All right, the Bears, they still have more than $40 million in cap space, and they will need to spend more to hit the NFL's rolling salary floor. The name's still looming. We talked about it a little bit in the first hour. Orlando Brown Jr., still out there in free agency, expected to get north of $20 million a year. Shot or no shot, we're still over $40 million in space. The Bears got to do whatever it takes and get Orlando Brown Jr. in Chicago.
Shot, and I don't think they'd have to go crazy, but between $23 and $24 million a year is what it's going to take. 5-year contract, 23-24, that'll take you up to $120 million over 5 years. Not a problem. You can finagle the numbers, give him a nice signing bonus, good guarantees, and his cap hit won't be more than $12-13 million this year.
Yeah, that is a shot. You want to solidify that offensive line. As I always say, anything that can favor Justin Fields, offense and defense, do that. That means bringing in difference-making players. Brown is one of those guys can be a difference-maker for this defensive offensive line. So, for sure, get that done. So, I would say that is a shot, Shay. Go ahead.
All right, the breaking news this morning. The New York Jets are working to sign Packer wide receiver Alan Lazard. Shot or no shot? This means Aaron Rodgers is a done deal.
It's a shot, but it'd be funny if he said, nah, I'm good. Yeah. I'm going back to Green Bay.
Yeah, got Lazard a job.
Because he's such a flake.
Nah, I don't think so.
Because he's such a flake. It would not surprise me if Rodgers would just say, yeah, you know, I just feel good about Green Bay. And Lazard's going to be like,
what'd
hey,
you do?
Hey!
I didn't want to come to Ice Lip. What's going on?
So, it's a shot to me. I just think that's a slippery slope. That's the next thing that's going to happen, right? Rodgers announces on McAfee.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happens. This is a shot. This is a done deal. Lazard's there. Hey, basically, he said, sign my guy Lazard and we're done deal. It'll be okay. We'll make it happen.
What's the difference between Favre and Rodgers as far as being a stand-up guy? The personality.
Well, I knew Brett. Yep. So Brett I spent a lot of time with when he was young, you know, when he was impetuous, when he was just fly by the seat of the pants. I watched the maturity process happen with him, or the maturing process.
Mm-hmm.
So that I saw, always friendly with everybody. Good teammate, good family man, mom and dad very close. I'd be on the trips with us. The whole ball and wax. The whole Rogers thing's kind of, you know, it weirds me out a little bit. Doesn't get along with the family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get older, it's harder to kind of relate to the younger people, too. Yeah. Brett had the same problem trying to relate to guys that are 23, 24. You know, they're no more Frankie, no more Chewy, no more guys that he used to lean on. That happened to Rogers. You know, guys that you like, well, all of a sudden they change teams to go to different places. Then you look around the locker room, and I don't really have anybody. I don't got nothing in common with anybody here. Nothing. So I just think, you know, for me, Brett was a man's man. I mean, he was tougher than nails. I love Brett.
Shane Norling.
All right, boys, I can't wait to hear Yurko's thoughts on this. Piggybacking off of the massive popularity of the HBO show The Last of Us, which shows a zombie apocalypse due to the real-life fungus Cordyceps, this from the Atlas Obscura this morning published a recipe. It detailed the best way to find, cook, and eat the real-life zombie fungus Cordyceps. Shot or no shot, you would eat this?
Absolutely not. No shot.
Why's that?
I've developed my cordyceps over the course of time.
That's not what he meant.
Oh, no.
That's not, no.
There's a lift in the room that I'm working on my cordyceps.
No, that's not, no.
No, I wouldn't eat cordyceps. Nothing. Nothing to do with dead people or sick people or zombies or nothing like that. I don't believe in it, but I don't even want to risk it.
Well, Yurk, it's real.
I don't want to risk it.
The fungus gets into wildlife in, I think, South America is where it's most common.
Not surprised.
And it goes straight to the brain.
Well, the Amazon, the jungle. All types of things down in the Amazonian jungle.
It goes straight to the brain and compels whatever it's infected to walk where it grows the best. It literally creates zombies.
Well, I'm not taking cordyceps then. No.
And here's Atlas Obscura going, put it in your ramen bowl.
No shot.
Come on, man.
I don't eat ramen.
Let's see what.
Unless I make it myself.
Oh, I'm sorry.
A half egg. I'm sorry. Half a hard boiled egg.
Too good to eat ramen now?
No. I won't eat it. I'll eat my own ramen that I make.
Uh-huh.
I won't eat a publicly made ramen in a restaurant or a soup kitchen.
Are you ashamed? Are you ashamed to be in that soup kitchen? Is that the problem?
Yeah. No ramen.
Are you ashamed of being in the soup kitchen?
Random pieces of pork in my ramen. No, thank you.
Oh, you don't think it's pork? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know what it is.
Well, what are you saying there?
Could be the Bill Gates meat that's out there.
All right. You don't know that.
I'm just saying that the non-meat meat. I don't know what non-meat meat is. I only know what meat is.
So you just want to make sure you have your own meat in your own ramen.
That's right. Yeah. My meat and my ramen.
Nothing wrong with that.
Can't make a habit out of that. Well, you know?
Might be an aphrodisiac.
The ramen's hot.
It might be an aphrodisiac. Yeah. You like to
Know.
Have your own meat in your ramen.
Oh, boy. What a special sauce.
This would be a Saturday night for you many years ago.
I am not crossing the line today, Jonathan, on your show. No, me, I'm not.
Oh, well. Cody, is that meat or a noodle?
Oh, boy.
Well, that's a question.
Yeah.
How's it lately?
Shay, you have crossed the line now. No. Mine?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Perfect?
Perfect.
For you.
For me. That's all it needs to be perfect
for. Exactly right. All right. Coming up, we go around the National Football League. Also still to come, Albert Breer will be with us from SI.com, a Monday morning quarterback. All part of the mix. Spring trading, along with the good kid, Jay Hood, with you on Cap and Jay Hood.
This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago hosts, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners. He starts the comment and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
Time to go around the National Football League with the good kid, Yurk. It's Jay Hood with you here on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. With you until 10 o'clock, then we will crosstalk with Sylvie and Bleck between 10 and noon right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Around the NFL, here's Shane Norling. Shane?
Well, let's start with this. It might just be a highlight of how down the wide receiver market is this year.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single wide receiver agreed to terms in the first day of the legal tampering period being open yesterday. Not one wide receiver signed.
Yeah, we saw the list before it came out, and we said, okay, if the Bears are going to get better with the wide receiver spot, they need to be able to trade for one.
DJ Moore is on the team. That might be the best that you might see out of this list of available wide receivers.
Yeah, it was an unimpressive list. That's why. Juju Schuster-Smith? Really? Is that what we're looking for?
Yes.
Juju? Jacoby Myers? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, unimpressive. That's why you didn't see it. Yeah, and DJ Moore, the acquisition. I tell you, he's the belle of the ball. That Friday move is... Poles legitimized himself.
Spotlight's on you, Mooney.
Yeah.
And Claypool.
And we'll see.
I know what Moore can do. Let's see about these other guys. All right, what else?
Draymond Jones was kind of at the top of the wish list for the Bears. The defensive tackle from Denver signed a 3-year, $51.53 million contract with the Seattle Seahawks. Team rarely breaks the bank, but decided to do it here for Draymond Jones.
Needed help up front, so they took the one guy at the right age that was available and gave him $17.5 million a year. And congratulations. Yeah, he looked like the guy, but he's another one of these 6'7" sack guys. So would you want to pay him $17.5 million, or do you want to pay him a little bit less?
Well, I guess what I was trying to figure out is the lane that Seattle's trying to pave. Like, so you got Geno Smith because, again, the old question is, well, if you don't sign Geno Smith, what do you have? You're going to draft a quarterback, or are you starting the franchise over? And for Pete Carroll, to me, it's kind of like they're just hanging around. I mean, look at what they did last year. 9-8, second place in the NFC West. Sounds like they still want to be able to just... put a couple 2x4s up there and just kind of maintain if they can.
Complicated situation to be in. You go full bad, or you continue to do what you do. And I think they've decided to. I think they wanted to prove that they could move on from their quarterback Russell Wilson and come in there and say, "Look, we use a quarterback nobody thought was as good as Russell Wilson, but he ran our offense the way we want to run it." And now look at how good our players are, how good our team can be. And they lost games late, too. They kind of struggled down the stretch.
Yep.
You know, the more film you have on the quarterback, the more you can kind of identify what his tendencies are. Mm-hmm. And the more you can jump things and players become less effective as you get more film on them. So, yeah, they're in between. 9-8's in between. But I think they wanted to prove that Russell Wilson was part of what they had going wrong for them. And I think they did.
Shay?
Bobby Okereke, another name, was linked heavily to the Bears, signed a 4-year, $40 million deal with the New York Giants. It does seem like Poles was avoiding getting into some of the bidding wars earlier.
Okay, so $40 million. You know what? To me, that's a sweetheart of a deal, though, Yerk.
$10 million a year. I mean, $10 million, that's a good deal for a club, and it's a good deal for the player. And Okereke, you know, not necessarily a superstar, all-pro guy. So you got to find that medium range. For the Bears, I think it was going to be either T.J. Edwards or Okereke. And when T.J. Edwards was willing to accept the deal, boom, simple. I think they believe the players are identical. They're the two same guys.
Yeah. We've talked about this several times in the show, Yerk. Just if you don't have a quarterback in the pipeline, and if you're not drafting one, it's like, I guess we had to pay this guy. And the same thing like Daniel Jones, right? You beat a fraudulent Vikings team. And so we saw Daniel Jones run all over the yard like, boy, that guy's got wheels. What happened? Where'd that come from? So now you're going to find out with brand new paper what Daniel Jones really is. I mean, so the concept was for the general manager at the time. It's like, we want to get some of this guy reminds me of Eli Manning. Well, I want Peyton Manning. But they want to have someone that looked like Eli. Like, so does that defense come along with Eli, too?
Who was most responsible for what happened in New York? Was it Daniel Jones or was it Brian Daboll?
I say it's Daboll.
Yeah, was it his enthusiasm? And that can only last for so long. Because eventually that enthusiasm and that hunger and that drive and that, hey, let's do it, you know, this way and we're going to find a way to win the game at the end. As fraudulent as Minnesota's 12-4 or what is it, 13-4 record is, you can look at the New York Giants and say, okay, they did it with smoke and mirrors this year. We'll see if they can repeat it again next year. So that's where they're at, both of those teams.
Shay.
How about the Lions, who opened the proceedings with Cam Sutton, the cornerback? People probably maybe don't know the name, but 28 years old last season, held opposing quarterbacks to a 48% completion percentage and 65.3 passer rating. Two of the best numbers by a cornerback in the NFL. Lions going out to fix the defense in the NFC North.
Well, they just continue to get better year in and year out with the draft picks and now in free agency as well. So that team, to me, blessed with good health, will be in the playoffs. And this might be a Wayne Font renaissance for this team. That's what I'm looking at. All of a sudden. A
lot of playoff appearances, no playoff victories, I believe.
Well.
Now, it was like 91. Didn't they go and play Washington, the Redskins, in the NFC Championship game?
Is that pre-lit cigar?
Yes, they did.
And they lost.
Yes.
Yes, they did.
Is that pre-lit cigar, though, right? It's after beating the Bears. Fonts with a cigar.
Yeah, I think that's Fonts. Pre-cigar, post-cigar. But it was Fonts.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So.
But we played them 2 years in a row and we beat them.
Yep.
We knocked them out of the playoffs. Held Barry Sanders the negative yards rushing, by the way.
You talk about building the right way.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pain.
Listen, they're doing it right up there.
Man.
And now they're going to the corners. They're going to the edges to make things better for them. Detroit's going to be the team to beat next year in this division.
Yeah.
And today when the announcement's made on the Pat McAfee show, when that announcement gets made, that's the official decline. I think the Bears, by the end, by the time the season starts, the Bears will be the third favorite to win the division. It's going to go Detroit, it'll go Minnesota, it'll go Bears, and then the Packers. That's what it's going to be.
You're already putting the anchor on Brother Love.
I do. I don't know anything about Jordan Love. I have no idea what kind of player he is. I know if he had shown any signs, the way they said goodbye to Alex Smith, which is easier to say goodbye to, and they made Patrick Mahomes the starter because they knew what they have, any inkling and any signs of anything would have prompted the Green Bay Packers to say, hey, we're going to move on. We're going to go a different direction here. But they haven't seen it yet, and we don't know. Brother Love might be able to get it done.
I have no idea.
I have no idea
either.
Very
limited tape.
Where did he, Utah State, Nevada, Reno? Where'd he come from?
Nevada, Reno.
Well, it could have been Nevada, Reno.
Don't think it was Nevada, Reno.
Utah State, then.
Yeah, I don't think it was.
Right. I don't see a lot of Utah State football, so I don't know.
Yes.
I don't even see a lot of Utah State basketball, and they're in the tournament.
You're three sheets to the wind. By the time those games come
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
Back of the bar.
Gotta watch these Mountain West games, man. Come on.
I watch them.
I'm limping home.
All right, what else?
My college football guy is sitting right across from me. His name is Jonathan Hood.
The greatest. How about this? Jimmy Garoppolo finally has a new home. From San Francisco to Vegas.
Yep.
Remember when we used to fly into McCarran and be Danny Gans there?
Yeah.
Danny Gans, watch me. Yeah. I'm going to be at the auditorium. Danny Gans.
That'll be billboards of Jimmy G all over the town.
How you doing?
The Jimmy G comedy show.
Welcome to Las Vegas. Yeah. Hey, I'm
Welcome
Jimmy
to
G.
Vegas. I'm Jimmy G. Ladies, come on down to the nightclub. Jimmy G will be there.
So for your Eastern Illinois brethren, let me tell you something.
Good contract.
Blank or get off the pot. This is your job.
I mean, he's 30.
Do something.
He's 30. Right. This is his job. He's 30. You know, if he could stay healthy, I don't think the situation in San Francisco would have gone sour for him. But you're right. You're 30. Get it done. He loves to hold on to the ball.
All he's done is win football games his whole career. All he does.
And he attacks the middle of the field, which I love, too. You're right. He does win football games. He does a nice job winning football games.
So does the trainer. Let's let him be the reason why. I mean,
he's got to stay healthy.
This is not the starting pitcher where you give him a W or an L at the end of the game.
Yeah, but there's a lot of guys out there just don't win. This guy, all he does, like Justin Herbert, everybody wants to anoint, doesn't win games. Jimmy Garoppolo, all he does is win.
You've got to protect the football, too.
What's the best ability?
The best ability?
Availability.
Availability.
Shay.
All right, the Chargers have proposed a rather interesting rule change. The Chargers have proposed that wild card teams be seeded ahead of division winners if they have a better record.
No, that's never going to pass. It's done. There's a reason why they got the divisions. The divisions need their importance. They don't. The wild card team gets to beat up on the division winner in the first game. They don't get home field advantage. No.
You think that's going to be definitely not ratified? It'll be
thrown out on its ear. Thrown out on its ear.
Shay, what do you think of that rule? Would you like to see that?
I've always felt it should be that way, honestly. Yurko clearly disagrees. But like last year, you have the 7-9, the Bucks, but they won the division.
Yeah.
Or 7-9, whatever they were. They had a bad record. They win the division, so somebody's got to go play a game on the road. It's not right.
What's that, Yurko? What was that?
8-9.
Okay. But 8-9, like there was a year where the Seahawks won the West 7-9, and so the Saints had to go to Seattle, and they got beat. Like, it's not right if you are 12-5, but you don't win your division because you're playing a bear.
Screw
then
New
you
got
to go on the road because somebody won a garbage.
You can't beat a 7-9 team. You don't deserve to win.
Winning on the road's hard, Yerk. You know this.
Well, it's less difficult now than it's ever been. And the great Carmen DeFalco has those numbers available at a drop of the hat. It's unbelievable, that guy with his gambling. He's ridiculous.
I don't have those.
More ridiculous than Devin Hester. That's how ridiculous.
Thank you very much.
Is. Yeah.
Right here on the home of the Bears.
Another happy year for the good kid.
Coming up, Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com with the latest is if Lazard's going to the Jets, where's Aaron Rodgers going? And also his thoughts on the Bears. That's coming up next. Cap'n Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and on the ESPN Chicago app.
Here's today's headlines with Cap'n Jay Hood.
I didn't say any of that, but nonetheless, let's get down to the headlines.
Let's get down.
Yeah, because that's not what it says on that sheet.
No, it says fans, man.
It didn't say any of that, but that's fine. I think we got the point.
Yeah. Dollar Shave Club.
Hey, well, that's all you needed right there.
It's available.
The Jets are working to reach an agreement with Alan Lazard, yeah, the wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Is he on his way to the Jets? Also, Jimmy Garoppolo finally has a new home. The Raiders signed Jimmy G to a 3-year, $72 million deal yesterday.
Jimmy.
The Bears got Jimmy.
Jimmy.
What kind of name is Garoppolo? The Bears got defensive line help late yesterday, signing Tennessee defensive end DeMarcus Walker to a 3-year deal worth $7 million annually. Walker has a career-high 7.5 sacks that goes along with offensive guard Nate Davis, as well as linebackers Tremaine Edmonds and T.J. Edwards being signed by the Bears.
How are you?
You like mornings, huh?
I'm trying to get oxygen inside of me here.
Eighth yawn.
Yeah.
Also, the NBA is continuing their
it's a breathing issue, John.
Into Memphis star Ja Morant. Meanwhile, Morant has left the Memphis Grizzlies and entered a counseling program in Florida. Jay Moore.
This is Spring Training Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago hosts, but paired with different radio partners.
I'm going to love this. Same thing we always do. I interrogate him, you write it down.
Spring Training Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap'n Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What?
You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
But Bert is it.
Albert Breer.
I'm excited.
From SI.com and Monday Morning Quarterback with us here on the Cap'n Jay Hood Morning Show with John Yurkovich. John the Hood with you. Let's turn now to the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Albert, good morning. How are you, sir?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
We're doing fine, thank you. So fill in the blank. If Alan Lazard goes to the Jets, then what happens next?
I don't know. Do they hire, like, Pat McAfee as their creative director or something?
Could be.
There has to be fallout. You got to fill in the blank here. There's smoke, there's fire, I think.
I mean, it's like, it kind of feels ridiculous now, doesn't it? I mean, like, I guess, like, the next move would be Randall Cobb, and then,
sure,
you know, maybe you see if the Packers will trade you David Bakhtiari. I mean, for a guy who said he wasn't going to do this, it sure seems like he is dragging it out, doesn't it? I think we all believe that the Jets are going to wind up with Aaron Rodgers. The Jets have, you know, obviously let, you know, guys that they have, ties to, you know, they have Todd Downing on their staff. Downing's very close with Derek Carr. They let him go. Robert Saleh was with Jimmy Garoppolo in San Francisco. They let him sign somewhere else. So I'll tell you what, like if Aaron Rodgers doesn't agree to the trade with the Jets, he's going to have really screwed them, you know, because they're going to have seen all these opportunities pass by. They've been willing to wait, you know, and obviously Aaron's a great, great player, and that's why you're willing to wait. But I think we all expect it's going to happen. But my God, what would it be like if it didn't happen, you know?
Well, if Jake Kumerow signs there, you know it's imminent then. You know right yeah, after that it's imminent. Orlando Brown Jr., what's wrong?
Yeah, I think it's as much as anything else. I think it's two things. Like, I think the first thing is his insistence on playing left tackle. And, that was part of why he wanted out of Baltimore. And Kansas City was willing to give him the opportunity to do that. He played left tackle at Oklahoma, but you know, I think a good portion of the league looks at him athletically and says he's better on the right side, where he played in Baltimore for 3 years. So that's number one. And then, you know, I think the second thing is, as a bigger player, and you see how many Shanahan-influenced offenses there are across the NFL, including the one right there in Chicago, you know, I think that there's that idea that you want smaller, more athletic linemen who can, you know, run in these zone blocking type run schemes. And so, you know, I think it's a combination of those two things, Mirko. Like, I don't think anybody's conspiring against him or anything else, but it's like, you look at, like, the other guys in the market, whether it's McGlinchey or Juwan Taylor or, you know, Caleb McGarry still out there. Those guys, I think, are, you know, you have a better idea of, like, what we're going to project that guy to do. Whereas I think, you know, to a certain degree, Orlando Brown may see himself one way where the market sees him another way.
So the Bears were very busy. Defensive end DeMarcus Walker, a couple of linebackers in Tremaine Edmonds and T.J. Edwards, and offensive guard Nate Davis. What do you think of Pohl's signing so far?
Really good. Like, and I think Nate Davis and DeMarcus Walker and T.J. Edwards are all, you know, like, I think nice mid-level signings, nice, you know, kind of, hey, here are some gears in the machine that we're trying to put together. Edmonds, of course, is the big one, and the one that you made a splash on and you paid $18 million a year for. And I think, Hoodie, if I'm not mistaken, I remember telling you guys over the summer that Roquan wasn't the best fit for Flus's defense. Is that, you remember that?
That is correct.
Tremaine Edmonds is a perfect fit. you know, and it's interesting because I went back and I wrote something on this yesterday, but I went back and I looked at the wingspan and the arm lengths of the guys coming out in the draft, right? And so if you look at, Darius Shaq Leonard and Bobby Okereke, who were the two guys that Eberflus was part of drafting in Indianapolis, those guys were both over 95th percentile in arm length, over 95th percentile in wingspan, and both over 6'1", right? If you look at Roquan's numbers were much lower. I think he was like bottom quarter in wingspan, bottom quarter in arm length, and under 6'1". And so, you know, are you willing to make an exception for a great player? Yes. Are you willing to pay an exception at the top of the market? That's another question. Tremaine Edmonds isn't an exception. Tremaine Edmonds has longer arms, has a bigger wingspan, is taller than both Bobby Okereke and Shaq Leonard, you know? And so in a lot of ways, he fits the mold perfectly. And if you guys want to really conceptualize this, right, like, it's a zone-heavy scheme. You need the linebackers to be able to cover ground and to shrink the field, right? Like, that's the whole idea of it. You know, Matt Eberflus learned that defense from Rod Marinelli. And Rod Marinelli being in Chicago for those years under Lovie Smith, who was the guy in the middle there? It was Brian Urlacher, right? And Brian Urlacher was tall, he was long, and he could get passing lanes. And that's the idea of signing somebody like Tremaine Edmonds and maybe being willing to let a great player like Roquan Smith go.
Well, the Bears missing defensive line right now in free agency, just with one signing. Jalen Carter's name appears again. Hopefully he gets down to 9. Is there any news out there on Jalen Carter that might see a more precipitous fall in the draft for him?
You know, the comp I heard actually a year ago going into, like, after the news, you know, broke of the, the arrest warrant was Warren Sapp. And I thought that was interesting. And I even had somebody say to me, like, you know, he was a high school tight end who converted to D tackle, just like Warren Sapp. He's from Apopka, Florida, went to the same high school as Warren Sapp. And actually his play style is sort of like Sapp, you know? So, I think that there's definitely going to be a lot of digging. And the key here isn't just that you have this. It's that there's this on top of a lot of other questions that were out there on his football makeup and how he fits into the structure of a team and all of that, you know? And so, like, I think, you know, like, this is something that teams have been digging into for a while, but until now, you could say there's nothing criminal there. It's just some questions about who he is as a person, right? Now there is something criminal that you've got to sort through. And so that's something that teams are going to be digging into over the next few weeks. And, you know, one of the key things here is if you're drafting in the top 5, 6, 7, you're probably going to be a little risk averse, right? Like, and Will Anderson is like a middle of the fairway type of pick. And then you look at the kid from Texas Tech. He's big, he's long, he's athletic, and Tyree Wilson, and he's a pretty clean prospect off the field too. So, you know, you start to think about it and do the math. If four quarterbacks go ahead of the Bears pick, and now maybe those two guys could go ahead of the Bears pick, now you're talking about him starting to creep into that area, you know? So I don't think that it's impossible that he has a little bit of a slide the way Moore and Stapp did, whatever it was. I think almost 30 years ago now. God, we're all old.
Yeah, where did he go, to 19 or 21? Where did he end up getting drafted?
Who, Warren Sapp? I think it was, I think 19th. It was actually 12. Was it 19th?
I think it was 19th. I looked it up the other
I thought
day.
It was 12. See, I thought it was like, in my head, I have 11 or 12. I remember, what I remember about 12. That guy, I was like, it was a 12? Okay,
yeah, it was 12.
What I remember about that, and I think I was in like 8th or 9th grade, but what I remember about that, and I loved watching the draft when I was a kid, mm-hmm. but you remember like the Jets fans booing when they drafted Kyle Brady over Warren Sapp. Like, and I think Kyle Brady was the 8th or 9th pick. And yeah, I guess the Jets fans were right about that one.
The Chicago Bears make a big deal with the Carolina Panthers. We'll talk to Albert about that coming up next. And, of course, we've got our 25th anniversary for ESPN 1000 coming up. That will take place on March 24th at the House of Blues. The live show is between 12 and 6. You still get tickets, livenation.com. Search ESPN Chicago if you want to go. But we've got a pair of tickets to give away right now. Here's the question. Which former Chicago Tribune columnist hosted weekday mornings here at ESPN 1000? A former Chicago Tribune columnist worked weekdays here at ESPN 1000, Monday through Friday. Do you know the name? Caller 5, regular line, 312-332-3776. If you got the answer, you'll be able to win two tickets to our 25th anniversary ball at the House of Blues on March 24th. More with Albert Breer next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
This is Spring Trading Tuesday. Same lovable ESPN Chicago host, but paired with different radio partners. Spring Trading Tuesday continues on ESPN Chicago.
Yerk, we got a winner for the tickets for the 25th anniversary for ESPN 1000, March 24th.
Wonderful.
Julian from the Southside knew that the Chicago Tribune columnist that worked middays here, Steve Rosenblum.
Oh, the Steve Rosenblum and Sean Salisbury show.
Yes.
Historic.
Alphabet Soup.
Historic.
A little cumbersome for the name, Rosenblum and Salisbury, but that was the name of the show.
Yeah. Historic for its brevity.
Albert Breer. Albert Breer is with us here from SI.com, a Monday morning quarterback. A lot of movement. Let's start with Garoppolo with the Raiders. What are your overall thoughts on that move? How could that make the Raiders better?
I think as much as anything, Hoodie, it's like that they don't have to guess on him. You know, like I think with a lot of these other guys, it's like you're projecting how he'll fit into, you know, what you're trying to build. And, you know, I think the experience with Derek Carr was somewhat eye-opening for them because it's not like Derek Carr's a bad guy, but he just didn't fit the culture that they were trying to build there. And with Jimmy Garoppolo, they're not guessing because they were with him for almost 4 years in New England. Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler were. So they know how he's going to fit. They know how he's going to work. They know how he's going to lead. And, you know, ultimately, I think they just take Jimmy Garoppolo and put him in the role that Derek Carr was supposed to serve, which was, you know, sort of the long-term bridge that buys you time to find the next guy. And I've used this example a few different times with people, but it's sort of like what Alex Smith was in Kansas City, you know, where, you know, Alex Smith was a really good quarterback there, and they made the playoffs 4 times in 5 years with him as the starter, winning record every year. But effectively what it did was it allowed them to build the team up and knowing we don't have to overreach on a quarterback and buy their time until the right quarterback came along. And obviously that wound up happening with Patrick Mahomes. So, you know, ideally that's what you're doing, what they tried to do with Derek Carr, and it didn't work. And now, you know, I think that they feel like at the very least they have a relative sure thing in Jimmy Garoppolo so long as he can stay healthy. And, you know, obviously that's a big question based on his history.
What are they doing in Miami to kind of guarantee they're going to have something if Tua doesn't necessarily come back or if he has one more concussion, making it the fourth of his career?
Well, I mean, think signing Mike White gives them at least some insurance. And I think this is one of those we'll cross that bridge when we get to it type things. You know, they're picking up the 5th-year option, which is a big deal because it's fully guaranteed. So that more or less locks them in, not just for this year, but for next year with Tua. And they must like what they've heard from the doctors if they're willing to do that. Now, that said, it's not just the concussions, like, right? Like, I mean, that's obviously the most serious stuff and the stuff that can affect his life the most. But, you know, you look at the litany of injuries before the concussions in Miami and going back to Alabama, and there's, you know, a lot of concern. As much promise as he showed last year when you started to put more around him and signing Tron Armstead and trading for Tyreek Hill, you know, you've got that concern. Can he stay on the field? And so, you know, I think that that's going to be the key here now is you continue to be aggressive. You're taking advantage of the window that you have where you have the quarterback on a rookie contract. Now, can that quarterback continue progressing the way that he progressed last year when he was healthy and stay healthy, which he hasn't really been able to do at any point in his football career going all the way back to when he was in college? That's the biggest question to me is, you know, can he stay healthy? Because I do think that they feel like they've put enough around him to really contend in what should be an incredibly, incredibly competitive division, you know, especially if Aaron Rodgers winds up landing with the Jets.
Well, the amount of contacts I have in my phone after that deal that the Bears struck with Carolina, I just kept getting .. and DJ Moore. And so what a haul for the Bears. What was your initial reaction, how that helps the Bears and how this helps Carolina as well?
Yeah, my initial reaction was, you know, I look at the compensation there, Hoodie, and, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, like what I had heard was for teams in the top five, the price was going to be 2 ones and 2 twos. And so the Bears got that. And then the premium for Carolina going down to 9 instead of staying within the top five, or for the Bears going down to 9 instead of staying in the top five, was DJ Moore. And, you know, after I talked to some people over the weekend about it who are involved in this, they really viewed the Panthers did, as DJ Moore as a chip was worth the first round pick because of the contract, because of the age, and because of the sort of player he is. And so, you know, I think really the way you want to look at this is that Ryan Poles got the equivalent of 3 ones and 2 twos, which is a great haul to move down from one to 9. And, you know, I think you walk away with this with a lot to build on over the next 3 years. And the other key to it is they want to both amplify Justin Fields and get answers on Justin Fields. And DJ Moore will help them do that. And taking care of this early meant like, okay, like now we can go in and focus on fixing the offensive line. And even though, you know, they swung and missed on Mike McGlinchey yesterday, they wind up going and getting Nate Davis. And, you know, I think on top of that, now you've got the capital with the 9th overall pick where maybe you wind up adding a Peter Skoronski or a Paris Johnson to your offensive line. And you do that, and now all of a sudden the offensive line looks a lot different. The receiver group looks a lot different. And you're going to be able to get solid answers on Justin Fields this year. The concept is similar in that way to, again, what Miami did last year, try to get answers on Tua by signing Tron Armstead and trading for Tyreek Hill.
As always, Albert, we appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
It is Albert Breer from SI.com, a Monday morning quarterback. He's with us here on the Cap and J Hood Morning Show. Hey, the Bears made some noise to start the legal tampering period. How impressed were you from Ryan Poles? Also, we got some other lingering breaking news around the NFL we'll get to as we move forward here. In 2 minutes, Yurko and I will be back right here on the home of the Bears.